Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to talk about the Word of God today. In fact, we can say the ancient words. And how these words came to us to where we are today. Amen. I have a couple of outlines of what we're going to talk about. I don't think we can get through in one session. I'm going to leave one with Brother Edmar, and I have a few more copies. I have this in digital format, but it's not with me at home. I'll have to send it to you by email, and I may have to update it a little bit too.
But
now, to start with, I want to ask you, how many of you have any of these new Bibles that just came out? Hold up your new Bibles. Let me see them. I want to see the Bibles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I saw one over here earlier. 7, you have one, right? Amen. Okay, give me one of these right here. Just bring it over to me. I don't know if you've looked at the first pages of this, but I want to point a few things out. First of all, it says somewhere in here, yeah, okay. On the very first page, it says that this was taken from what is called the received text. We'll get into that. I just want you to know, it says it inside here. In other words, this Sabano Bible that's parallel with the English is precisely word for word from the King James.
King James Version.
And where it says the received text or the authorized version, okay, means that it came from the Textus Receptus, a Greek version that was considered an absolutely true version of the Word of God. Now, on the next page where it says introduction, okay, on the second paragraph it says the translators believed in the formal equivalence method of translation, and it's being used throughout this whole project. Now, in the course of what we're going to talk about, by the way, you don't mind if we have a little history lesson today here, do you? Okay. I believe that these are things that you need to know because of what the devil is doing to corrupt and dilute the Word of God. Formal equivalence means exactly what the King James Bible said. We are going to take every word and translate it into your language. Now they have a new method. The new Bibles, the new versions of the Bible, are being translated by a different method.
Ang Biblia nagdugi sa Russia pero nagkalain-lain ang nagasulat niini unsa iya paghubad niini usahay mahilayo na kayo kun unsa man ang tinud-anay unsa man ang sakto nga pagsabot niini.
They call their new method dynamic equivalence.
Ningon niya sa bago nga pamaagi mitubo nga agtaw karang madasigon kayo diha nga madasigon nga kapareha.
In other words, the translator tries to figure out what he thinks that God meant by it, and not just the words that are in the Textus Receptus or the King James, but what do I think would be a good word here?
Ang niyaha ang napagsulat, iya lang ikuha gikan sa iya ang kaganaw sa iya kadasig may tubod niini, nga ganyo sa napilayo na kayo kung unsa rin ang tinunanay nga, unsa rin ang insakto nga, ipasabot sa mga Biblia.
And what these dynamic equivalents is doing, it's watering down the deity of Jesus Christ.
Ang iyang iimo niini, nga iyang yung ipaganahan o maayo, manitungon ang
it changes or leaves out a couple of words that now Mary is perpetually a virgin and can be worshipped as the mother of God. One of the most glaring bad examples of dynamic equivalence was that there was a translator in one of the tribal areas of South America.
South America nga gipaganahan lang ini ang maayo kuno say masulat sa Biblia.
I don't believe it was Spanish, but it was some other language, and he was translating into the language of the people of this tribal region.
Di kay kun sa kanang Latino kundi gi hatag ini nga mga mensahe kini nga mao nga paghubad niini ngadto sa mga tribo.
And he came upon the word lamb for the sacrifice, the Passover lamb, and he realized that the people had never seen a lamb or a sheep. So he substituted their word for what we would probably call a guinea pig.
Na hato niya yung inisa ka na siya na itawag sa kanang na kanang itong ilaga ang mapaboy kanang itawag na jinyapig na kamay na o kanang ilaga na kamay mo na siya.
And one of their artists made a picture of the Last Supper, and I saw it in a book. I saw the picture, and there was a guinea pig with his feet in the air laying on the table, and Jesus at the Last Supper. Can you imagine we sing the song Lamb of God? Would you say guinea pig of God? You laugh, but it's terrible what men are doing today in translation. Now, this corruption has even gone into the Wycliffe Bible translators. They have been corrupted by this same thing. And the men who train these men as translators, they come into this school for translators with a pure heart.
ato makita karon ay mga tao kasi sincere na kasingkase nga pagkatuon kayo din nga mga Biblia ang ginawa nga di ay.
And the men who were in charge of these schools, he wrote a book and he said, it takes me 3 months to break them down in their conscience so that they will not want to translate word for word. You know, brethren, maybe you have never seen a sheep or a lamb. I'm still not going to change what God said. Someday you can find out what a lamb is. Now when I got you the Bibles, you probably remember, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago, I got some Bibles. It was the best I could find at the time. I went on the internet, I went on the telephone, I called here, I called there, and I finally got a hold of the man who said that he had translated the Bible into Shabano. And I didn't know the things that I know today. But I asked him, I said, can you tell me for sure that you faithfully translated every word of God the way it was said in the Word of God? And he gave me this strange verse at the end of the book of Zechariah. The verse about the bells on the horses and the pots and the pans in the sanctuary. And he said, nobody knows what that means. And I said to myself, I guess this is as good as it's going to get. Now, I want to say something good about the Bible Baptists. Brethren, I am not ready to join the Bible Baptists. They seem that they do not know how to interpret the Word of God. But I will say this. They know how to preserve the word of the King James Bible. So I can trust that the Bibles that we have got for you this time are as good a translation into your Sabano language as you're ever going to get. Now let me go into some of the things before we get into the history here. I want to go into some of the things that God says about His Word. You know that God is very jealous about His Word. And I want to read to you the last, not quite the last, the 19th verse of the last chapter of Revelation. Okay, verse 18 and 19 of chapter 22. Yeah. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Kaya ko nagpamatuod neto sa matag tao na nagapakaluog sa mga punong sa propesya ni ini nga basahon kung ano na tao ang madugang nga ito ni ini mga butanga ang Diyos madugang nga ito kaniya sa mga hampak na naisulat ni ini nga basahon. Isinuipi, ukun na doon ay tao ang makuha igan sa mga punong sa basahon ni ini nga propesya ang Diyos makuha sa iyang bahin gikan sa basahon sa kinabuhi o gikan sa balaan na syudad, o gikan sa mga butang na isulat ni ini nga basahon.
Amen. Now, I believe that that applies to this book.
Nagtungo nga, kini matawa na ilang sabiyakika kini nga mga pulong.
That is the last chapter, the last verses of the last book that makes up this Bible.
Katapusan nga kapitulo sa katapusan nga libro.
Holy words, long preserved. If we could remember that last verse, I think it goes something like, martyr's blood stains each page. Now, let us look in, I'm just going to read a few verses and then we're going to go into the history here. Matthew 5, verse
17, 18, and 19.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Ako wala mo ani aron sa paguba apan aron sa pagtuman. 18. Kaysa pagkatinuod, ako magingon nga na kaninyo, hangtod ang langit ug ang yuta mahanaw, walay bisan usa ka kudlit ni usa ka tulpok nga mahanaw sa bisan unsa paagi gikan sa balaod, hangtod ang tanan magtuman. 19. Busa si bisan kinsa nga molapas sa usa niini nga pinakagamay nga kasuguhan, ug motudlo sa mga tawo sa ingon, siya pagatawgon nga pinakagamay sa dingarihan sa langit. Apan si bisan kinsa nga mubuhat ug motudlo kanila, mao ang pagatawgon nga dako sa dingarihan sa langit.
One more verse, and that's in Luke chapter 16.
Lucas kapitulo 16.
Verse 16.
Versículo 16. Lucas 16, 16.
And 17. Says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail.
Lucas 16:16-17. Ang balaod ang mga propeta hangtod ni Juan, sukad di ana nga panahon ang gingharian sa Dios diwali ug ang matag tawo nagadudot ngadto niini. 17. Ug mas masayon pa sa langit ug sa yuta sa pagka kahanaw kaysa usa ka tulpok sa balaod sa pagkapakyas.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Amen.
God said that He wants to preserve every little punctuation mark in the word.
Atong barang kasulatan nag-ingon din ha nga iya gayong i-preserve ang matatulog gayong diini nining Biblia.
You understand how it can change the whole meaning of a sentence by adding a comma or leaving it out.
Imong makita din ha nga gamay lang kayo ang imong nga ibutang niya sa mga kasulatan, malahi na dayon ang pag-interpretar niini.
So let's start with the Old Testament.
Atong sundan karon sa daan nga tuon.
To begin with, the very first word of God was not a written word, but it was a spoken word.
Ang primero nga nabugna sa pulong sa Dios, wala pa kini sinulat kundi gisulti nga mao nga pulong.
Now, probably the first thing that God spoke to Adam and Eve is the word "be fruitful and multiply."
Ang primero nga dugan sa atong unang ginikanan sa diyang ningon ang Dios nga tukanila nga pagsanay kamo.
Then He told them what they could and could not eat.
Unya isultihan pa rin sa Ginoo nga usay angay mo kanon ug dili kanon.
And specifically, He commanded them of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were not to eat of it.
Gisultihan din sila ng katulong kahoy sa pagkahibalo sa mayong sudautan, kinahanglan nga dili gayon nila kinikanon.
Now, it is interesting that Satan came to corrupt the very first word of God. He came to corrupt it.
Imo makita din ha nga kana nga mao pirong pulong nga gihatag ngadto sa unang ikara sa Adan ug Eva ni intra sa tanas unya sa iyang pagintra iya kini ni tao.
It's interesting that He didn't come and challenge them as to whether they should be fruitful and multiply.
Wala niyo ni tapni ani tunga sa tanas nga iya ni iyang gitagaan og kanang pagtigi ang gisultian sa Dios nga may tanaw ta og sugod pa tanaw ta kun mo matuman man ang gingon kanimo nga magsanay kamo.
But to challenge them concerning their partaking of good and evil and becoming God.
Ang iyang giawha isa nga kanang gisulti kanang wala nga tugot kanu sa pagkaon sa kahoy sa mayong sudautan nga kaya ka na ninyo kay maisama kamo sa Dios.
So that was the first spoken word, the first commandment of God, and man knew exactly what God expected.
Okay na siya ang primero nga awha, primero nga ang pagtigi, primero nga challenge nato sa anak sa Dios nga ilang tun-aw kinakahibaluan nila kung sakit ang pulong sa Ginoo.
Now, it was not written at all that we have any record of until the time of Moses.
Unya sukad niya tu nga mao nga pag sulti ni Satanasan, wala na kini mahitabo na hangtod nga niabot na po dito sa panahon ni Moses.
So the first writing was by the finger of God on stone.
Ang primero nga sinulat usa ka tusya ka kanang pagsulat sa Dios dito kayo sa papay nga bato.
Now, when you write on stone by the finger of God, you're not going to be able to change it.
Nga gisulat kini siya sa kamukil sa Dios para nga dili nagyud siya maotro pa.
So, at the time of Jesus now, they had what we call the Old Testament.
Sa panahon, niya na panahon na gitawag na itong karon nga daan na tugon.
They had the Torah.
Na sila gitawag na Torah.
You know these terms, don't you? You've heard this? You've studied this?
Yeah.
They had the Torah. Okay, that's the first five books of Moses. Okay. Now these are all divinely inspired. There's words spoken by God, written by the hand of man. Now for thousands of years, scribes carefully by hand copied these on whatever parchment they had, sometimes on the skins of animals. They would copy this very carefully, word for word, every punctuation, every jot, every tittle. If they spoiled it, throw the whole thing away and start all over again. And if it's in the Torah that we find God's pattern of the tabernacle. The Old Testament had the historical books. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. Then they had what they called writings. Sometimes called wisdom. And you know, that's Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and such. And then they had the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jonah, Hosea, all of them. Now, Jesus said, before John, you had the law and the prophets. Up until John, you had all this. But he said, after John, you have what?
Ato nabasa dito sa asato Lucas 16:6 nga isa nga nakit ariyo sa sinugdanan nakit balo na mo sa balaod na to kang Moses na itong lima kalibro ni Moses unya nakit ariyo ang mga propeta na itong mga middle mga propeta niya humani ato niya po dala yun niyo dala yun siya na niya nakaroon kamo diya sa gingharian sa Diyos humani ato tanan.
Now, you know that all this was written in the Hebrew language. And it is believed that by the 5th century before Christ, all of this was put together. They had the complete Old Testament by 400, 500 years before Christ.
Na kumplito na siya hangtod na niabot si Kristo mo na tugi ko na niya na ang iyang biharian.
And after Malachi, there was 400 years and God was silent.
Humana. Nahuman ang daan na tubon, katapusan niya Malakias, ni dagan pa ni kabag pao 400 or 400 katuig adisin na po natagpo ang baong na tubon.
So throughout all this time, from Moses all the way through, including this 400 years, the scribes were very carefully copying, making handmade copies.
Imo makita nila kung yung sa ipag-aguanta sa mga katawang kriyento, no? Ikan sa primero hantong sa wapamagong si Jesus Cristo, wala pa nila pang type, kundi ni sige, sulat ko nila maayo, adlaw gabi, kasulat sila niini, hantong gani, abot kinisira sa ato ang panahonan karon.
This is what Jesus quoted, and this is what Jesus read from. This is what Paul was preaching from. Remember when Jesus stood up in the synagogue, and it was given to him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah.
Imo may lumabasa sa kagayon niya na si Ginoisos na tunlo nga ito sa simbahan o niya iyang diablihan ka itong sinula na gika ni Isaiah.
Okay, so we know that Jesus was reading from the Hebrew text. He was not reading from Greek, or he would never have talked about jot and tittle. Those are Hebrew things.
Katong iyang gibasa sa panahon ay iyang gabihan kato, iya katong gibasa sa Hebrewhanon nga pinulungan, wala sa lain nga pinulungan.
Now, we have the New Testament.
Natay ba ang matugo na ron?
Rita, where's my eraser? Did I put it over there? Thank you, dear. So we have the time now of pressing in to the kingdom.
Karon niya nataron sa nagsugo kita pagsulod mahitungod sa mensahe diha sa gingharian sa Ginoo.
You know that the New Testament was not all written in one day.
Nakaibalo ta ang bagong ato kun wala lang ini sinabok nga nasulat sa usa lang kahigayon ha usa lang adlaw wala.
First of all, you have the Gospels.
Una nga makita ko sa Biblia na ay gitawag na maayong balita or gospel.
Okay? You have four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Upat, kabuo, kana siya. Ang naanian ang maong gospel.
Then you have Acts.
Narayon ang Acts. Gitawag siya o istorya.
After that, you have what? The epistles? And who wrote the epistles?
Okay. Yeah, karon ha. Pero ang gospel sunod ang history sa Acts. Then ang sunod niya ikatulo is ang mga
Paul wrote most of them.
Sinulat ni Pablo.
Peter, James, John, Jude also wrote.
Si Pablo kato na pahatol ito pa nulong nito sa Jude.
And finally, you have the Apocalypse.
Katapusan na rayon dito na rayon sa pinanayag. Gitawag ka na siya o...
Which is Revelation.
Apocalypse.
Now, the Apocalypse may not have been written until somewhere around the year 90.
Nakumplito ni siya na pagsulat dito na sa dapil sa 90.
But by the end of the first century, you have all the Bible. It wasn't necessarily all put together in one book, but you had everything that was anointed and inspired by God. It was available.
Mao na sa pirmirong dekada niya na sa wala na sa nasugdan na kini, kumpleto na kini tanan ang daan o ang bag-o, na kumpleto na ni siya tanan magpag-abot na ni sa bag-o katugon.
For the next maybe 100 years, Somebody would have the book of Luke. Somebody would have the book of John. Somebody over here in this little place would have some of Paul's books. And they would pass them around from churches to churches. Can you imagine the excitement of a church? Well, I don't know, let's pick a town, Philippi. A traveler has come from Antioch. He's carrying the book of Mark and one of Paul's epistles to Rome. Let us all gather together and hear what this is saying. So, in the course of time, these things were translated into Greek. Well, actually, they were written in Greek. Let me say they were written in Greek, not translated into Greek, but they were written in Greek. Greek was the trade language of that day. It was sort of like English is today. If you want to do international business, you should speak English. Amen. So they were written in Greek. And by the way, this whole what really belongs in the Word of God today that we call the Word of God. Was not established until 397, the year 397 AD. The Council of Carthage. Okay, that's when all the men of God got together and said, this belongs in, this book does not belong in, this book belongs, this doesn't belong. Okay, now, you've got this, so I'm going to erase it. Have you ever heard the book called The Tale of Two Cities? Haven't heard of it. It's a classical book in English. Well, I want to tell you another tale of two cities. I want to draw you a map of the Mediterranean. I'm not very good at this. I guess that's the Mediterranean, isn't it? I mean, it goes out here in Italy. comes down with their little boots.
Oh, yeah. The mighty nina nagborag itinitiranya ni diri dan ito ang itali.
Okay.
Borag dihadapin bauna na siya.
And over here is Egypt.
Oh, yeah. Dito sa ubos ng mahay na moring mo ni siyang Egypto. Egypt, no?
And by the way, this is Alexandria, Egypt.
Okay, Alexandria. Sa Egypt is siya, Alexandria.
And over here, somewhere, is Jerusalem. And up here is Antioch.
Okay, sa Antioch na yun, si Pablo, ito sa Subang.
Which is in Syria.
Sa Syria. By the way,
there was a good Syrian translation also made of the New Testament. It wasn't just Greek. There was also a very good Syriac translation.
Sa Syria, dunay nindo tayo ka pagkahubad ni ana. Nindo tayo.
And these cities were not very far. They say Antioch was 310 miles. From Jerusalem. And Egypt down here was 315 or something like that.
So I
need another color here.
From
Jerusalem, the word of God went two ways. It went here to Egypt, and it went up here to Antioch. Now, Antioch is mentioned in the Word of God. What do you know about the church at Antioch? Come on, you know the book of Acts? What happened at Antioch? Antioch was where they were first called Christians. Where was the city where they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas, was it, and sent them out?
Asa pa kanito nga lugar katong di padungan si Pablo?
The prophets laid hands on them. No, it was actually in Antioch. Paul was on the Damascus road when the light struck him down. But this is where the Gentile church first took its best root, up here in Antioch. So there were Christians that moved from Jerusalem up to Antioch. This became the Gentile expression of the church, and Jerusalem was mostly the Jewish people. But there were also Jewish people that came over here to Alexandria, and Christianity formed over here in Egypt. Now, we don't know much about what really happened in the church after the end of the first century. Okay, when I say the second century, what dates are we talking about? The second century would be the year of 100 to 199, right? One of the things we do know is that before the apostles were even dead, let's say before John was dead, and probably before Paul even died, the corruption of the order of the church began to break down.
Kung gikan ini nga mao nga mga dapita mga ikso ning panahon na daghan kayo mga tinun-an ni Jesus Kristo nga nagamatay naman sila, so nagniabot tayo nga aduna na dayo pagkadaot na dayo ang mao nga mga pagtulun-an sa balaang kasulatan.
By the way, you want to know where Carthage is? I said the Council of Carthage. Carthage is down here. It's in Africa.
Okay, katong dito sa Konsilyo di Adiria sa Africa, di sa kilid, no? Dapit sa may buklanan.
I'm not sure what country it is today.
Ambog lang sa nakamangan na sugla karon ha.
But anyway, Two streams of Bible began to develop, and maybe we're not going to get much further.
Ato lang po nga ang sinugdanan sa duha ka mga libro is nagaloy na nabutang dito sa duha ka mga dapit.
But let me finish what was happening in the church. First of all these cities, you know, what are the names of the cities that Paul went to? Where Paul and Barnabas were preaching. Ephesus. Lystra. Tell me some of the names of the places in the five letters to the churches. Smyrna. Okay, I'll just give you a few. What happened in all these churches now during the second century is that the leadership began to have a bishop over every city.
Mauna nga gikan ini nga mga istorya mga igsuon ang isuruya ni Pablo diya nagasumikada yon ang ipagtawag na katong mga dako-dako na sa iglesia gitawag sila mga obispo.
Now this is not the same kind of bishops that the Catholic Church has today, but nevertheless what they were was they were super pastors.
Dili din pareha sa mga obispo sa ito sa atong dako sa simbahan. Kung dili, nahimo na kini karong gitawag nga obispo or bishop, obispo siya, nahimo siya pangulo sa mga pastors na pangulo sa mga
every expression of fellowship in Ephesus was under that man.
Ang tanan nga namugna ng mga simbahan sa nagalain ng mga syudad, nag-iusa lang kanila ang nag-aupot nini.
Now, he didn't rule over this church, because this church had its own bishop. These were good men. These were men who loved the Lord. These were men who laid their life down for what they believed. Rome was a terrible governor. They were constantly persecuting, killing the church.
Nga wala na ilain pa ang mga adbot na ito kanila na laing na simpahan na ilang pamatyong ang tanan ng mga adbot na nila.
Because it was driven by the devil.
tungod kay dili nga mga tawhana gigabhan sila sa pagbulutan ni Satanas.
So these bishops, there was one of Antioch, his name was Ignatius. There was one in Smyrna, his name was Polycarp. There was Irenaeus, he was bishop of Lyons. These men were all martyrs. So the word of God got into Egypt as well, got down to Alexandria.
Hangtod nga ang pulong sa Dios niabot dito sa Alexandria dire.
And a whole lot of lies began to develop.
Unya gikan niya na mao mo panahuna nagkuyanap gayud ang dili maayo nga mga panghitabo.
Now, the Bibles that were preserved here in Antioch were pure word of God, and the word began to go out. It was a pure word. It went into all these Greek places, and it traveled far. It actually traveled into Europe. And the same word, pure word, went down to Alexandria.
O more dia pun nga pulungan ni padulong nito una sa Alexandria nya padulong na nito kasa dati sa matangon ini.
And down in Alexandria they had a Bible school.
Dito sa Alexandria kayo nakabatong sila o katong Bible school or
a school of theology.
Dito nagsugod padayon katong di sa agikan si Pablo.
Because Alexandria was where all the scholars were, and the brilliant people came to Alexandria to study.
Kay ang niya sa mga bright kayo kini naa sa Alexandria nga mga tao mao na gusto nang istoryo ang Biblia sa kaugalingon nilang pagka-bright.
And they not only studied the word of God in their Bible school, but they studied the Greek philosophies of Plato and things like that.
Dila kay nagstudyo sila diha sa ilang kalantin sila po na mga organic istudyohan pag nila unsa ang mga pamaagi sa Griko ng mga tao.
It's pretty much like a modern university today.
Mga moderno kay siya nga kanang tuhaan, moderno nga tuhaan.
And there came along a man who was part of this Bible school, a scholar.
Unya gikan niya na nga mao nga tao di abutun ni tumanay ang tao gikan diri dapita sa diri sa Alexandria.
And he wasn't the only one. There were a bunch of these scholars in Alexandria.
Gani diri lang kay siya nang inusara kun da apoy kaubat nga mga lantip ko sa pangunahuna gikan sa Alexandria.
Began to study the word of God including the Old Testament.
Nagsugod sila pagtuon sa balaang kasulatan.
Now, the Old Testament already had its own name. The Hebrews, I think they call it the Masoretic text or something like that. But they came up with another Old Testament, which they put into Greek, and they call it the Septuagint.
Hangtod nga ilang istudyuhan kini diha sa Greeko nga mga tao unya gihinganlan dayon kini diha og kini Septuagint.
And in that Septuagint they added some other books that didn't belong in the Bible.
Unya gika sa Septuagint ginuha nila sa balaang kasulatan unya gidugangan dayon nila og mga istorya nga wala dayon napuntunta sa Biblia.
The Apocrypha.
Gitawag siya og mga.
Have you heard of the Apocrypha? Yeah? If you find a Catholic Bible, you find the Apocrypha in it.
Kanang libro, kanang Biblia, gitawag na sa amo ang bukog nanay, nga 72 ka mga, 72 ka mga libro nga naay na, nga idugang sa mauna.
You find the book of Maccabees and Book of what? Sardis or something, and the Book of Enoch. I don't know what all are they. Book of Wisdom. Oh yeah, Book of Judith.
Judith.
Now, these books are not inspired by God. They are folklore. They are tales. Some of them are true. Some of them are not very true. Some of them are tall tales. And the Jewish people themselves, the rabbis, they knew that they didn't really belong in their Bible. But these men in Alexandria, they started putting them in with the Word of God. Alright, I want to talk about one man. The one man, there are others. I can name you a couple of them. There was another one named Marcius or Marcus or something like that.
But
I want to talk about the man named Origen. Have you ever heard that name? Did I spell his name right? I think it's
E-N.
Oh, E-N. O-R-I-G-E-N. Origen is the origin of corrupt Bibles. And I want to tell you today, almost all of the modern translations NIV, New International Version, New King James, Living Bible, Good News for Modern Man. And I can give you the abbreviations for 5, 6, 7, 8 more of them. They are all based on the corruptions that this man and some of his peers began to produce in the year, between the year, somewhere around the year 200-250
A.D.
Let me tell you a little about him. Here was a Christian man who did not believe in the Word of God. Let me tell you what he did believe. Alright? He believed that man was divine. Man is God. Isn't that the lie that Satan told Eve? You can be like God? He believed in the pre-existence of souls. In other words, before you were born here, you were out there floating around, you were somewhere else as a soul. Isn't this what the Hindus believe? Uh, He taught that everyone would eventually be saved, including the devil. What's that called? Ultimate reconciliation. You want to know where that started? He said that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, was a hierarchy. One was higher, the other was lower, you know. He believed that you could be saved by being baptized. Now, as I go through this list, are you going to be surprised that the Catholic Church calls him a great church father? So, when you ask a Catholic priest, why do you not follow what the Bible, the King James Bible, why do you not follow that? Why do you have other things that are in conflict? And he will tell you, well, we hold these traditions to be as good or better than the Bible. In other words, he's telling you what Origen believed is as much or more than the Bible. Men like Origen. Men like Origen, men like Augustine, men like Jerome. I don't have time to go into them. They have made these men to be saints, and these men have all participated in further corrupting the pure, true Word of God. And so Origen translated his Bibles, and now when these modern guys that are making these new Bibles, they say, well, ancient texts leave this verse out. Do you know some of these ancient texts leave the last half of the whole book of Hebrews out? What does the last half of the book of Hebrews deal with? It deals with the priesthood of all believers and the passing away of the old order of priests. Do you understand why the Catholic Church does not want those passages in their new versions? One of these ancient texts leaves the whole book of Revelation out. Let me give you another example. And there is a conspiracy. I do believe in conspiracies. Some of them. They are trying to make a Bible today that is acceptable to all religion, including and especially the Roman Catholic Church. Let me just give you a couple quick examples, okay? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The new versions just say Father.
Sa bagong pinulungan, mayroon na lang Amahan or Father.
What Father? Where?
Asa maghang Amahan? Mora na itong ilang gusto mamakitaan. Ito ang tumamahan na ito.
Some of them want it to apply to Father the Devil.
Ay, mayroon sa Amahan. Lato pa ang Diyos ding kalibukan na kay Satanas man. Mayroon ka Amahan, Satanas.
So we can't call him our Father. We can't say in heaven because he got kicked out of heaven. And you just get one of these Bibles and you innocently read along. Oh, didn't they leave a word or two out? Oh, well, it means the same thing. No, it doesn't mean the same thing. Another example. The Catholic Church wants Mary to be a goddess to which we can pray, and she was forever a virgin. So, in the King James Bible, where it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and Joseph knew her not until Joseph knew her not until after she brought forth her firstborn son."
Maria. Hangtod nga ni abot dito sa iya kasi lagi mismo ang magahimo nini.
So one of the versions left off the word firstborn.
Nay paghubad na po nini, gitawag na po siya nga ang hinubaran na po wala na ang gikon nga primerong anak.
Until she brought forth her son. But we know that she had other sons and daughters. And it changed to, and Joseph did not have relations with her. It left out the word until. You see how it can change the meaning by just leaving two words out, until and firstborn.
Kanalang gamay lang kayo, isang kanang pulong lang na duha ka po kanang ninyo nga primerong anak, unya, ibuha nila ang primero, anak na lang, unya ninyo nga hangtod, ninyo sila, basta kay,
and now,
kuha na po na nila ng hangtod.
And now it opens up the door to a whole different doctrine of the true Word of God.
Hangtod na lang, ilan naman lagi, nang ilan nang iablihan na yun, ang lain na po na yun, na ilan ipresentar, ukong sa gusto na nilang makita po.
I tell you, brethren, I am so glad that we found what I believe is a pure word of God in your tongue. Let me just tell you a little bit more about this man, Origen. Oh boy, we only got to page 2 and there's 10 of them. He believed in purgatory. You see, the Catholic Church calls him a church father. He taught that both the Holy Spirit and Christ were created by God.
Santo,
transmigration of souls of men after death.
Nga maluwas pa ang kalangga na di ang kita kuman siya mamatay. Maluwas pa daw.
By the way, he didn't believe the Genesis account of creation was a literal word of God, and that there was no natural man named Adam.
Gani giwasin din sila mo to nga hinimo ang kanang mga pagbugna ni kalimutan na gani dito sila mo to nga ang primerong tao nga si Adan.
Can you see now when this man makes a translation of the Bible and he believes and doesn't believe these things, do you see what kind of word he's going to bring forth?
Imo na magit-an karon kun unsa gusto nila iparusot karon ni ima panahon unsa na pila iparusot nga ilaha gusto nga atong tuhan.
He believed that Christ became God when he was baptized. He did not believe there was a physical resurrection of believers after they died. And worst of all, the man apparently could not control his passions, so in order to do so, he had himself surgically neutered, castrated. His beliefs were so corrupt that even the bishop, a man named Demetrius,
si Demetrius,
the bishop of Alexandria,
ang obispo sa Alexandria,
excommunicated him. Said he's no longer an elder, he's no longer a presbyter.
Kick him out.
I tell you, brethren, there is a lot of bad history coming from down here, Egypt, this whole area down here, a lot of bad history. But I do want to tell you one thing. Maybe we can do a little bit more another day, but I do want to add one more thing. How long do we have? Oh yeah, we're getting right up there, aren't we? You know that things changed in Rome. The Emperor Constantine came along. Constantine. And Constantine became the emperor by defeating another man that wanted to be emperor.
Si Constantine iyang nahimo siya nga governor dati sa iyang panahon nga humaniya gidaog gibuntong ang gobyerno sa niyang panahon.
And there was a very crucial battle at a place called Melvian Bridge.
Adunay ngilagay ang mga pangitabo ng pag-away dito sa Melvian Bridge.
Now, Constantine was a pagan, and he worshipped Sol Invictus, the sun god.
Si Constantino, dili siya tao siya kini mo tuog Dios, gani naghimo siya iyang kawalingon nga Dios.
So, before the last battle with his rival, Maximentus or something, before that battle, he prayed to his god, the sun.
Sa wala pa mahitabo nga maong gubat ni ampo sa siya si Constantino ampo siya sa iya Dios nga adlaw mahitungod ni ana.
Oh, he prayed, oh sun god, give me a sign that I can win this battle.
Ingnan siya nga, oh akong Dios nga adlaw ihatag kanako ang timailhan ko nako magadaoban ini nga maong gubat.
So he looked up in the sky, in the sun,
and
he saw a cross. And he heard the voice, conquer by this sign. By the way, do you know what he actually saw? It's not what we call a cross. It's called A-N-K-H, Ankh. Do you know what that is? Let me show you what it is. It's like this.
Ay, yun na oh. Lingit na si baba, unya ibutang ano. Sa tunga, krusan siya, unya patulong sa ubos. Mo na iyahang na.
Where have you seen that?
Asa man ni mo makitaan?
Where do you see that? Where do you see that cross?
Asa man ni mo makitaan?
What'd you say? That's a Roman Catholic cross. Rosary, yes. So he's going to conquer by this cross. Now this is not the cross that Jesus was crucified. It doesn't even look like it. Of course he won his battle. And in, he won his battle 312. And somebody apparently convinced him that he was now a Christian. By the way, he didn't get baptized as a Christian until just before he died. So the next year, he said, Christianity is legal. And I hereby declare that Christianity is now the official religion of all the Roman Empire. So all the pagans that are worshiping idols now, they have to come in and they have to be baptized, and we're going to make them all members of the church. So since they were believing what Origen believed, that you can be saved by being baptized, all they had to do is bring the pagans in. 1, 2, 3. And of course they had to give all their pagan gods. New names. All their pagan festivals had to be given new names. Their feast of Saturnalia was to become Christmas. Now, Constantine was a clever man. We're going to quit soon. He was a clever man, and he wanted to organize all these bishops. So he asked Eusebius, his favorite bishop of Caesarea, go and find me 50 good Bibles. And guess where this fellow went to buy his 50 Bibles?
Onya mo na nito si ato yung hihingan lang lagi lisura pa itong halana nagsugod, nagpalit na yun o Biblia.
Did he go over here to Syria where they had the pure word of God?
Ato mga Biblia ni Diya ang ipangpasa na nindot kayo ng mga Biblia.
No. No, he went down here to Alexandria.
Wala siya din niya magpili siya dirita sa Alexandria kay murag nas dito kay mga bride ni mga bubog pag dinri dire mga bride niya para dito tinunod.
And they said, "We just happen to have 50 Bibles for you."
Sing alaria na 50 na Biblia para kanimo.
And they were all corrupted Bibles. By Origen and these other men had already corrupted these 50 Bibles. One more date and then I'll quit. Council of Nicaea. They had, how many bishops do you think they had by the year 325? Now remember, this is only a little over 200 years after the last apostle is dead.
Kini sila ng mga pinto ko katapusan ng apostol na namatay.
Three hundred bishops came.
Abot dere sa 325, 300 abot ka mga obispo ang ilahang nakuha.
And they were going to decide on what is the true word and what is not the true word.
Mao nila yung mga panahon na sa ilang panatigo ang ilahang agenda. Mao na niya ang sa mayo atong
and they were all going to have to sign an agreement that there would be no more disagreement among them. They were all going to agree to the same thing. And every bishop signed that agreement except one.
Ang matagal sa gayon ng mga obispo na itong panahon na nipirma sila gawas lamang sa usap.
A guy named Arius, and guess where he was from?
Ang iyang ngalan, mao si
Alexandria.
So you know what? Arius gikan sa Alexandria.
You know what they did?
Ibalubo mo sa iyong himo?
They excommunicated him.
Kaiwakan mo yon, lakpo.
Amen. So you see, Christianity is now legal, but that means all the pagans are now saying that they're Christians and they're not Christians. Bad news. But good news. God is going to preserve His word, and we'll talk more about it later. For today, God bless you.